I want to ask Gene and Edie if they would come forward. These young kids are getting ready to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. It's just a little gift from the church. we love this couple. One thing about couples that celebrate 50 years of marriage, they know what covenant is. They understand, because I will guarantee you one thing, it hadn't all been easy. There's been times probably when they thought, maybe this is the time that it's starting to break down. But you know, they hung in there. And the reward is for those that continue, those who walk it out, for those who know what covenant is and they embrace it. Again, I want you to stretch your hand forward and let's pray. Now, at this juncture in their life, they're beginning to have some health challenges. So we want to pray according to that also. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this couple. I thank you for what they mean to this church. I thank you for the maturity and the talents, Lord, that are resident within them, for the wisdom, Lord. But most of all, I thank you for that they do know what covenant means, and they are covenanted not only with each other, but they're in covenant with you. They understand the grace of God. They understand what it's like to walk with you. They understand what it's like to surrender their will and say, okay, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Father, they know that. They know what it's like to be healed, and they know what it's like to be forgiven. They know what it's like to face dark days and adversity. But they also know what it's like to pray in a closet until the glory of God falls, Father. They know what it's like to hear the voice of God and bring the answer to them. So, Father, I pray for them, Lord, and I say in Jesus' name, walk in healing and health. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that these eyes fully recover, Lord Jesus. Father, we believe, Lord, what a special time in their life to also experience a miracle of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you forgive us of all of our sins, but you heal us of all of our diseases. I say in Jesus' name, let the grace of God rest upon this couple. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. Hallelujah. Amen. If you would, for you that's putting a clock to my preaching, it starts now, not 20 minutes ago. Amen. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we're going to talk today about rehearsing God's faithfulness. Now, as I read this, it's amazing. Sometimes you think you understand what you're reading, and then the Lord shows you late in the day. Hey, buddy, you got it wrong. Let's look at this one more time. I don't know if your chapter 12 has a subtitle over it, but mine says Samuel's address at Saul's coronation, which we would maybe say like a president inauguration. They were getting ready to crown the king. Now, he was already had stepped into the role of king, but this was going to be the ceremonial presence of making him the king. Now, what's unusual about this chapter is they don't talk about that. But Samuel uses this time to speak to the people. So I want you to get that. So we're going to read chapter 12, but I want to back up to verse 15, just so a bit, verse 15 of chapter 11, the last verse of chapter 11, so that you'll see, sort of puts you in context here. It says, so all the people went to Gilgal, and they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they made sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel greatly rejoiced. Now Samuel said to all of Israel, indeed, I have heeded your voice and all that you've said to me, and have made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and look, my sons are with you. I walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? And whom whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you. And they said, you have not cheated us, nor oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. Then he said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. Then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who raised Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. And now therefore stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob had gone into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron who brought your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord, their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines and into the hand of the king Moab. And they fought against them, and they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroths. But now deliver us from the hand of the enemy and we will serve you. And the Lord sent Zerubbabel, Bedan, Jethunal, and Samuel. I forgot all these words were in there. And delivered you out of the hand of your enemy on every side, and you dwelt in safety. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Amorites, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. I like that. Now therefore, he is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, which you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourself. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, for we have added to our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear, you have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn aside from then, you would go after empty things and cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Father God, we just come before you today, and I pray for your anointing to rest upon me and the words, Father, of my mouth and the words of this book. Lord, I pray, Lord, today that we would just think about what Samuel is telling the people and that we would apply it to our heart and to our life. I pray the Holy Ghost would take these words and would make them alive, Lord, in each one of our hearts. And Lord, just do something special in each one of us. Lord, I pray the Word of God over me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've titled this, Rehearsing God's Faithfulness. Now what's interesting is they're there to crown the king. Samuel gets them all together and he's getting ready to crown the king. And what he does, like any good preacher, he thinks, oh, I've got a crowd. I think I'll preach a sermon. I think it's a good time to preach. He actually, I want you to visualize this. Saul is here getting ready to have the crown set on his head. And Samuel begins to tell them what a sin they've committed by asking for a king. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's just bad timing. What do you think? You know, I think the time to tell them they've committed a wickedness You know, and asking for this king is not when you're getting ready to crown the king. But he's done it before, he's done it after. So Samuel begins to prime the pump a little bit. If some of you old timers know what I'm talking about. He begins to tell them and rehearse the goodness of God in their life. Why? Because he is wanting them to make a quality decision. Chapter 12 is all about getting people to make a decision. And I hope you see it. I hope you see what Samuel is doing. He's bringing the people. And he's bringing things out of their past. I'm sorry. Bringing things out of their past. And he's reminding them of this and reminding them of that for one reason and one reason only. He says, I'm getting ready to leave you, and a king is going to rule over you. But today, you need to make your mind up who you're going to serve. What's your life going to be all about? Rehearsing God's faithfulness. I find that as people, we rehearse a lot of things, don't we? We rehearse our hurts. We rehearse our failures. Sometimes we rehearse the good things in our life. But I don't know what it is about people that we tend to like to rehearse. Right? We go back and we think, boy, she really did hurt me. Or this was a bad time in my life. And I just can't hardly get over this thought. Get over it. Because it's not helping. Rehearsing negative thoughts is not good. And you'll never get to the point where God wants to take you by rehearsing the negative of life. But what will help you is rehearsing God's goodness, rehearsing His faithfulness. And that's what Samuel did to the people. He said, I want you to go with me. And the very first thing he says, by the way, have I taken anything that doesn't belong to me? Have I ever taken a bribe? Have I ever done this or done that or hurt you in any way? And the people said, absolutely not. You ever thought, why did he go there? And he says, I've served you since I was a little boy. I've walked among you since I was a boy. And I want you to know, I want the witness to be against you this day. I want you to declare this. You cannot receive spiritually from someone that you do not respect. Someone that you do not trust. Last week we were at a church, went to a church with my son. We went and visited our kids last weekend, and Pastor Ray filled in for us and Layla, and we really appreciate all their efforts. I know it was good. It's always good. But we said in a church that, I'm going to tell a little bit of my prejudice, I guess. The pastor was slick. You know what I mean? He just slick. He just looked slick. You know, he's just a little too good looking, and he's sharply dressed, and that hair was cut perfectly, and it just sends my little radar off, like, you know, is this one of these televangelists, you know, that's going to say for $700, I'll say a prayer for you. And it's, you know, so I realize, though, I'm not going to receive anything from this guy if I don't trust him. So I just sat there and I just had to stop and think, is anything coming out of his mouth that's ungodly? Is it, you know, where is he at? And when I begin to give him my trust, I begin to receive. Does that make sense to you? You've got to trust. If you're in a church and you don't trust Treva and I, you're in the wrong church. I can just tell you that. You need to go to a church where you can trust the pastor, where you can trust the leadership. If you're sitting in Ray's class and you don't trust him, you're in the wrong class. Go to a class where God can speak to you through the man or the woman that's speaking to you. Now, we've done that to ourselves, haven't we? We've done that to ourselves. But Samuel gets them to the point where they say, yes, we agree with you. And then he starts giving them a history lesson. He says, okay, let's think about what God has done for us. You remember when Jacob went to Egypt thinking it was a good thing? So he goes because there's a famine and son is there, Joseph is there, and he takes care of him. But later on, they turn in, they wind up being slaves in the land. So God raises up a leader, raises up Moses and Aaron. He delivers them. And then he goes on, he says, but in your sin, calls it out. It doesn't do us any good to sugarcoat everything. Oh, you're good. God bless you, you're good. We're all good, aren't we? We're just good people, and God loves good people. That's just nonsense. We're not good. Not a one of us sitting here is good. It's by God's grace that we're saved. You know, I've read before that Moses was a basket case. He was. He was drawn out of a basket out of the River Nile. All of God's leaders were messed up people until God's hand came upon them. And the same way with us. People are not good until God inhabits. Until God comes. Now I know that's hard for you to understand, but we're selfish. We'll take advantage of each other until God shows us the right way. So he goes through and he says, because of your wickedness, you went into captivity with Sisera and you went into captivity here. But when you cried out to God, he was faithful to deliver you. So he goes through this. Now, some of you may be saying, yeah, you don't understand my life today. Eric, it's in rambles. It's just in shambles. I'm just a messed up mess. Well, whose fault is that? It's your fault. It's not God's fault. You see, we get our lives in these messes and we want to blame everybody else. But the truth of the matter is it's your fault. It's the choices that you've made. You're the sum total of the choices you've made to this day. You recognize that? Except for the grace of God. I am so thankful that I don't bear all the consequences of my choices because of God's grace. Amen. So God has kept us from a lot of things. But he begins to rehearse God's goodness and God's faithfulness to them. In Lamentations chapter 3, he says, it's through the Lord's mercy we're not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they're new every morning. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, that God is still faithful because he cannot deny himself. God is faithful even when you're faithless. God is faithful. And that's God's grace. And that's God's mercy for us. Truth or consequences. If you fear the Lord, Samuel told him, if you'll serve him, if you'll obey his voice and do not rebel, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue and follow the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey God's voice and you do rebel against the commandment of the Lord, the hand of the Lord will be against you. Samuel did a great job of taking the people to the point that he says, listen, it's all about choices. It's all about choices. You remember in Deuteronomy when Moses had almost the exact same speech with the children of Israel? He says, choose life. Today I set before you life and death, but I want you to choose life. Samuel's saying the same thing. Saying, guys, we've got to make better choices in our life. We've got to choose wisely. But if you do this, if you'll listen to the Lord, if you obey his voice, don't rebel against the Lord will be with you. Now some years later, under another king, King Solomon, they were getting ready to dedicate a temple. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says these words, if my people, God spoke to Solomon in a dream. He gave him these words. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and I'll heal them. If there was ever a time when America needs to wake up and turn from their wicked way and humble themselves so that God will heal our land, it's today. Samuel was saying the very same thing, but he was saying it before the crisis. Did you get it? Why wait until the crisis to make a good decision? Why wait until you're in that jail cell looking at a sentence from a judge and you're crying out for the mercy of God? Why wait until you're pregnant by a man that you don't love and say, well, what do I need to do? I just need to pray for God's mercy. Why do we wait for the crisis? Can we not make good decisions before the crisis? Why can every teenager just make a decision? I will walk with the Lord all the days of my life. And I will marry the person and I will stand before the preacher as a virgin. Can I say that's a good decision? That's a really good decision. Why have to come through life with all the baggage of your mistakes? Why do we wait until we're drug addicts and say, God, deliver us? I think it's a whole lot wiser to say, God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil. Lord, I want to serve you not on that side, but on this side, the right side, before I get into trouble. Do you understand what I'm saying? And now, those of you that have some age on you, that have made life choices and bad choices, I know you're saying, I wish I had chosen right. I wish I could take back 20 years and go back to the day when someone offered me a joint and just say, no, thank you. I don't need it. But you can't go back. But you will go forward. What you do with the rest of your life is up to you today. Today, choose wisely. Just remember this. God is faithful. That wherever you're at in life, that once you say, I'm sorry for the sin. I'm sorry I neglected you. I'm sorry I turned and went my own way. I want to come home. But he says, well, come. I'll meet you at the end of the drive. I'll meet you more than halfway. Welcome home, son. Welcome home. Let me restore to you what the devil has been stealing from you all the time. I'm telling you guys, we serve a good God. We serve a faithful God. David said this, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging. Guys, that verse blows my mind. It's just like, David, can you really say that? It wouldn't be in the Bible if he couldn't, because it wouldn't be real, wouldn't be true. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. That does not mean that you might not have some hard times. What it does mean is that he will be with you during those hard times. He'll walk right with you through the hard times of life. Truth and consequences. I think we live in a society that does not want to take responsibility for our own action. And the longer you keep pushing it off and say, this is mom and dad's fault, or I was raised poor, or I'm black, or I'm Chinese, or I'm Hispanic, and I was raised this way. And guys, that doesn't help you. Just own it. Just own it. I am who I am because I made the choices I made. Like it or not, and from that moment on, God can take you on. God will heal everything that you've done. My decision makes all the difference. In Acts 17, verse 30, it says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere. Just remember this, guys. Repentance is the most positive word in the scripture. It is a positive thing. Every time you see it, when you see the word repent, you think, wow, God is calling them to action. God's calling them something positive. My attitude about God will determine my decisions. Now, if there's something that I like to hammer, it's this one right here. And I've been hammering it since I've been in Paris because I find that the church has preached otherwise. Let me go back just one second. Did you catch that point in that verse? He says, well, if you will do this, not only will God be good to you, but you and the king will serve the Lord. You know, I think it's time the church quits looking at Washington and say, you're ruining our lives. Well, it's those Democrats or it's those Republicans. I got news for you. It's not. It's not. It's not. It is the church. If my people, which are called by my name, the politicians of America will never make it right. But when God's people humble themselves and decide they don't want to look like the world, and they're not here to please the world, but they are here to lead the world, then it will go well with us and the king. We call him a president, but it doesn't matter what you call him. Do you understand that? Again, what do we have to do? We're having to take responsibility, aren't we? You can't shift it off and say it's his fault, it's her fault, it's mom's fault, it's dad's fault. It's everybody's fault but me. We got it wrong. I'm sorry. It's not what happened to you. It's your fault. Take responsibility for it. My attitude means everything. How I feel about God. Do I think that God will welcome me home if I've been terrible? Harry, you don't know who I've been. I don't care. I do know one thing, God will say, come on home. You can't be bad enough. Your life can't be in shambles enough that God won't say, come on. If you feel the least little bit of inkling of God drawing you, He'll accept you. Isn't that great? That is wonderful news. God is good. Psalms 136:1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. For he is good, his mercy endures forever. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Good things come from God. Bad things come from the devil. Even when you read this verse and it says, if you'll do this, God will bless you. But if you don't, the hand of God will be against you. In the Old Testament, that's the way they explained everything. The truth of the matter is when you're not walking with God, you are walking out from under the covering of His protection. It's not God who's getting you, it's the devil. Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. But when you remove yourself from the protection of the Holy Ghost, you're vulnerable to the devil. Friday, my son was riding his bicycle to campus. He was on the street corner on the road and in the right spot where he's supposed to be. Truck went to turn the corner and truck kept coming and Drew kept looking at that truck thinking, he's going to hit me. And Drew said, I started backing up and before long, the truck hit him. Truck knocked him over. He gets up. And says, God bless you. May the Lord prosper your going. There was a little righteous indignation there. But all I could think is, thank you, Lord, for God's protection. Now, he did not leave the house, I'm sure, saying, Lord, I'm just believing you for protection today as I ride my bicycle. There's not a 20-year-old that ever thinks anything bad's going to happen. Right? They think they're invincible. They think nothing bad can happen. You know what that was? That was an attempt of Satan to kill him. I am sure of it. At least to break him. He gets a scratch. Because God is faithful. And I think the rest of his life, he'll remember that. Truck tried to take me out. God is good. God does things for us when we don't even know it. when we're not even praising Him. I'm going to tell you, God's blessed me before when I wasn't even walking very close to Him. God protected me. God wants good things for His children. In Romans 8:26 through 28 says, likewise also the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Can I stop right there? Have you ever thought about that? All of us know Romans 8:28. That's a verse that every Christian learns really quick, because we need those verses where God can turn bad into good. But verse 26, the Spirit of God is making intercession for you today. You ever think about that? The Spirit of God is praying for you. That's what intercession is. It's prayer. The Spirit of God is praying for you, is telling God, bless him. Lord, give him good health. Lord, protect him today. Lord, would you do this for him? The Spirit of God within you is interceding for you. I love that. He says he does that with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, no matter how bad your life is, God can change it. God can make good out of it. Now I'm going to tell you, there's people sitting in this room that's hard for you to wrap your mind around. I'm sometimes amazed at how God collects people in one body that have so many similarities. There's a number of people in this room that have lost children. Died to cancer. Died to this. Different things. Can't imagine anything in life worse. But every person in this room that I know of, that they've shared their testimony with me, has told me, but God has brought good. God can take the worst possible thing that I can imagine and still spring. God can take your destruction, even if it's self-inflicted, turn it for good. Eric, I've made bad decisions. God can change. Maybe won't do it overnight. If he did it overnight, we probably wouldn't learn. But God will change when you give it to him. But if you keep toying with it, it's your baby. It's not until you release it into his hands that he can fix it. You gotta release. Gotta let God take that messed up life that you've got and let Him work with it. Stand and see great things which the Lord will do before your eyes. This is what Samuel tells the people. Now during the wheat harvest, it did not rain. That was unheard of. And Samuel said, it's the wheat harvest, isn't it? And they said, yes. And he said, I'm going to get ready to pray for some rain and some thunder. And he said, God's going to do it. And I'm sure they scratched their head and says, it doesn't rain this time of the year. Now, have you ever been to Israel? It doesn't rain. It's not like Kentucky and Tennessee where you can have 2% chance of rain and you better get your umbrella, right? Doesn't matter what the forecaster says. Any day is a good day for rain as far as West Tennessee and Kentucky matters. Not so in Israel. They had the former and the latter rain. It would rain at the beginning of the season. It rained at the end. The whole season would be dry. So a wheat harvest, it would not be raining. But all of a sudden, when Samuel prays, the skies open up and the thunder happens. And you know what the Bible says? The people were afraid. They were afraid of God and they were afraid of Samuel. Now that is not saying that the fear of the Lord, which the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This wasn't a fear of God. This was scared to death. I don't know what's happening, but I am afraid right at the moment. They were afraid, but their fear did lead to some wisdom because it led to some repentance. Finally, these people took responsibility for themselves. It says that Samuel encourages the people, but he does not downplay the sin. He says, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. And they finally admit it. And they finally said, yes, we have been wicked in asking for a king. Finally. They finally admit that they have done wickedness. God cannot forgive you of your sins until you give it to him. Until you finally say, I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. He will not until you ask. Psalms 95 verse 7, he says, for he is our God and we are his people, sheep of his pasture. And 1 Peter verse 2 chapter, chapter 2 verse 10 says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. In verse 22 of this scripture reading, Samuel told the people, he says this, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it pleased the Lord to make you his people. Guys, listen to me for just a second. It pleased the Lord to make Israel his people. It pleases the Lord to make you his people. When you accept Jesus into your heart, you are happy, but all of heaven rejoices. That's what the scripture says. Over one person repenting, all of heaven rejoices. I'm telling you, it thrills heaven when one person comes to know Jesus. It is his joy. But we're not taught that. We're not taught that we are God's delight. You need to realize there's too many people that are scared of God this way. But you need to see that God has his arms out. God welcomes you in, even when you've messed up. That's what I don't understand. Even when you've messed up, God says, come on back, come on back. I want you here with me. I want to get rid of this garbage and let's restore you. Remember, God is good. God is loving. God is kind. God is able to forgive you of anything that you've done. God is the only one who can restore back what Satan has stolen. Some of you, Satan has stolen your joy. God says, I want to give it back to you. I want you to be joyful. Let's rehearse God's. Let's quit rehearsing our mistakes. Let's quit rehearsing our sin. And let's rehearse the goodness of God. Is there anybody in this room that says, I'll tell you one thing, God's been faithful to me. Amen. I did not realize that we had such a testimony in my wife's family till it was at their funeral time. And as we buried Trevin, Eddie's dad, there was one song that just stood out. It was that song that we sang today. Great is thy faithfulness. Then 2 years later, we buried their mom. Same song came back. Great is thy faithfulness. Now that's not a song necessarily that I was raised up with. That's a song that is a testimony. Goodness. That's a song that as I looked over the lives of my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, no other song could come close. My father-in-law had an eighth grade education. He spent his young years working with mules, pulling timber out of the woods. Ain't nothing harder than that. My mother-in-law dropped out of school, what, about 11th grade, something like that. God used two people that were mostly uneducated, pastored a church for 30 years. At my father-in-law's funeral, there were people that we didn't even know. And people were coming up saying, you know, I don't really even know him. I just heard his name. And for some reason, I remembered, she said, One day I was broken down on the road, and he came and he stopped and he helped me. Now the whole time he lived in Murray, he was dying. Doctor had given him about a two-year sentence to die with cirrhosis of the liver. He lived 16 years after. Life was not easy. Sometimes he'd swell up with so much fluid, could only wear one pair of clothes. He would wear bib overalls, and he got to where he couldn't sit in a chair because he couldn't bend himself. So we'd bring a bar stool, and he would sit on this bar stool because that's how he could lay down, or he could sort of sit like this because his belly got so big with fluid from cirrhosis of the liver. God never healed him. God never healed him. But God sustained him. Never lost his joy. I remember in the hospital room, we gathered in that room, and he had not lost consciousness, but he lost the ability to speak. We began to sing songs, and you could see his mouth move. And you could see he was praying. After he died, my mother-in-law started to begin to lose mental focus, think through depression. But the one time when you would see her come back to who she really was, when you got her into church, when you get her in the presence of God, she recognized that she was at home in the presence of God. I go back to my childhood. I'm going to tell you guys, my childhood was not easy. Neither was yours. But I will tell you, God has been faithful. Preacher last week said something, and I know where he was going, and I understood what he was saying. He said, you're where you're at today because you were positive, and you could think it through, and you thought, you know, you believed in yourself, or you believed in, I understood that, and I know there, your attitude makes a huge difference. But I turned to Treva and I said, I am not where I'm at today because of my attitude. I am where I'm at today for the goodness and the grace of God in my life. I know that I stand before you not because of my ability, but because of His goodness. You'll never convince me otherwise. And I know if you had the microphone at this time, most of you would stand and say the very same thing. It's because of God's goodness, God's faithfulness to me that I am where I am. Some of you in this room may be saying, but I'm not in a good place. It can change that quickly. God can take you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Samuel ends and he says, fear the Lord. Serve Him in truth. Don't ever forget that God is faithful. With every head bowed, every eye closed, it's possible that today, as you maybe listened to me preach, you would say, I'm just not there. I'm not there, but I want to be. I'm ready to see God do something with my life. I'm ready to make a good quality decision where I give my heart to Him. And I'm asking Him to bring goodness into my life again. Would you just lift your hands? I just want to pray for you today. Amen. I see hands all over this building. Amen. I see your hands. Anybody else that says, pray for me, Pastor. Amen. 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 God bless you, folks. Now, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you want me to pray for you directly, I will do that. But you're also able to do that on your own. as you just say, Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. God will meet you there. God will forgive you of your sins. So we take just a moment. I just feel in my spirit that someone is praying that prayer right now. God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Be Lord and Savior of my life. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Father God, I pray for these people, specifically for those that raised their hand. I ask, Lord, that the Spirit of God would touch them. Lord, I know in my spirit there's people in all different spectrums today. There's people whose lives are a mess, and there's people who have walked with you for some time, but they're saying, but I think I need to do better yet. I still need to make better decisions. Lord, today, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Today, Lord, we humble ourselves in your presence. We're saying to you today, Lord, we're making a quality decision to turn from our wickedness, to turn from the evil, and to turn towards you, to go in the opposite direction and to walk with you. And Father, I pray today, Lord, heal us. Restore to us and heal us. May the Spirit of God dwell with each person individually and bring healing into your life, into your bodies, to your circumstances. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you folks. Pastor Ray.